So in this report, Lisa Ann scored very high on her math, and Ms. Berenger, or Dr. Berenger, excuse me, says that that her perfect, near perfect score on the math portion of this exam exhibits the fact that Lisa Ann is clearly paranoidly over alert. This was her diagnosis of Lisa Ann from the fact that she scored such a good score in the math. She went on to score a perfect score on the block test, whatever that is, and I'm not a shrink, nor do I have much to do with them. That's a whole other topic. But at any rate, she scored a perfect score on the block test, and from that, Melissa Berenger opined that she was clearly psychotic.
Who's the blockhead here?
That's the question. I read this to the judge in open court. The judge, who was basing his decision as he was making his decision, which was on the side of the county council and CPS, they sustained all of the allegations in the petition, including that
Judge Baby Burglar Black.
This is. That's a good one. Yes, this is Judge Black, sustained all of the allegations in the petition without any comment, basically, other than the fact that he looked at me and in an angry, hostile voice. Well, the first incident actually happened in trial, that he started screaming as I walked in the courtroom, "What are these TV cameras doing here?" So he was quite upset about any public being there to witness all of these secretive goings on. Yeah, but at any rate, he then chastised me for believing my client. He said, "Well, you just believe anything she'd say, don't you?" And some quite clear ad hominem attacks against me for representing her, he then went on to sustain all of the allegations in the petition. And at the very end, I said, "Judge Black, would the court please, for my edification and for the record, cite the incidences of abuse and or neglect that support the allegations in the complaint," at which point Judge Black gathered up his files and his books and turned his back on me and walked out of the courtroom.
In a dignified manner, I would hope.
As dignified, I suppose, as...
What were the allegations?
The allegations were that there was substantial neglect, abuse and or neglect. There are three allegations. Abandonment. And the third allegation is, which is totally bizarre, is that is abuse of the sibling of the child that they snatched. Now, the sibling of the child that they snatched, Lisa Ann's first child, was taken away from her at birth 3 years ago because she tested positive for marijuana. The child has never been reunited with her. She has never, ever had custody of this child, and yet they are accusing her of having abused or neglected this child.
Perhaps it was a form of spiritual abuse.
That's yes, distant abuse of some sort.
Perhaps a CIA psychic.
No. Well, the situation is this. The judge ruled in their favor. There will not be a review of the case until June. The child who was snatched in a perfectly healthy condition 1 month ago, even their own doctors stated that the baby was totally healthy. They said that the baby was small for its age. Well, Lisa Ann weighs 90 pounds, so she's not going to have any 7-footers. Anyway, that was the only thing they could say, is that the weight was low, which it wasn't, obviously, for the size of the child. But at any rate, now that the child has been in foster care for 1 month, the child has a yeast infection, rash over the entire body, conjunctivitis, and is just in a generally very poor state of health and very stressed. According to Lisa Ann, when she goes to visit now, the baby doesn't even smile anymore. So this baby is now separated from her mother, 5.5-month-old baby, basically because they disagree with Lisa Ann's lifestyle. And you can look at it that way. The other way of looking at it is that there's money changing hands somewhere, and I'm
going to... evidence of money changing hands?
No, I don't have any evidence of money changing hands, but I am going to go about gathering it as I go here. My next step is to do a writ of mandate, which is going to take many, many hours, probably 40 or 50 hours that I don't have. For free. but it's an outrageous situation. Probably in my 20 years of practice in law, the most outrageous situation that I have ever seen.
Well, possibly next week we'll have yet another case for you. Actually, anyone who is interested, who is listening to this case, has been following it. I know a number of people have. If you have any information about CPS concerning mistreatment of you and your child, perhaps, Kate, should we give out your number for them to give you a call?
Yeah, I really would like to know this because I'm trying to, like I said, I'm going to be sicking an investigative journalist on their tail very soon here who's pretty interested in all of this information. And there has been an outpouring. I have just received word from a woman in Ventura, believe it or not, who heard about this, whose baby was snatched in Santa Cruz County. Becky Johnson told me this morning on the phone that the number of children being taken away from their mothers has more than doubled in the last couple of years. So there's something going on. There's something fishy happening here, and we're going to try and get to the bottom of it. But I would give me a call at 457-1545.
Repeat that number, could you, Kate?
457-1545. Mm-hmm. If you've been had a run-in with the CPS, if the CPS has snatched your baby or even detained your baby, arrested your baby,
or interrogated your baby,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to baby the CPS.
The situation is this, and this is the last thing I'm going to say because I do have a terrible cold and I'm blowing all my germs all over Robert. And now I lost my train of thought.
Gosh. Give you a moment to catch your train of thought. There actually have been other mothers who have told me that they have had CPS problems. One of them wanted to be on the air here. She was going to show up twice, but recently I spoke to her, and she is really afraid that CPS will snatch her baby, and they already have her baby. We'll keep her baby if she doesn't keep her mouth shut.
I think what's gone wrong here, basically, is that the government does this. They take an issue that is quite clearly everyone hates child abuse, right? So the issue is that let's give them lots of power so that they can intervene when they feel like it, so that we can prevent child abuse. Well, of course that's good, but then when you give them this sort of unlimited power, then they become gods. They think they're gods, and in a snap of their finger, they can take a child, literally yank a child out of from a mother's breast, and put them in a foster home where it's quite clear that this baby is spending most of her time laying on her back crying, or perhaps with a bottle stuck in her mouth, instead of being nurtured and cared for by her mother, which is where she belongs. So it's an agency run amok by being given way too much power and authority and discretion to do acts that we should have some say. These people aren't elected officials. We don't elect these officials. These are appointed county employees. They're not gods. They are not infallible, and we need some system of checks and balances to make sure that these people aren't running amok.
We have on the line with us, again, the inescapable Linda LeMaster. Linda, did you want to direct a question to Kate or a comment?
I want to add a couple points to what Kate was saying, as well as thank her again. Two things. This is to everyone listening. There's a part of this that's the police department, and this is a consistent pattern. This is not just one case or just for young people or something, but sometimes the way the CPS worker who has police power and the ordinary police come to your door or your sidewalk curb or whatever and seize the child without even telling mother, child, or anyone else what's going on or what justification there is for it causes so much trauma to a small child. It's never treated in the context of what caused it. And that kind of trauma gets thrown back against the mother often by the time this thing gets to the court. I don't know what the justice system gets out of this. I mean, I don't know if it boils down to money or some even more insidious form of power. But we can confront the police part of this, at least in the city of Santa Cruz. We can expose the tactics they use that traumatize, often permanently traumatize, children and infants. You know? And the second thing I wanted to say is, and you know, it makes a world of difference if you've heard something like this on the radio before it happens to you, instead of learning it as you go along while they're trying to sever your legal and other ties to your child. But this is what I learned dealing with CPS here that's worth passing on. Be aggressive in dealing with them. Make damn sure you leave a message every time you call there. They can be telling you and telling the judge that's going to make the decision about your child that you never made any effort to contact your child or to visit, and that alone can cause a judge to decide you're not a fit parent, even though you might have been calling them twice a day every day for 3 weeks. If you don't make damn sure that you get through to somebody that has some responsibility there, and they all think they're better gods than the IRS or something, it's gonna come down on you. The victim is always the parent, no matter how many other victims there are in that system. And as Kate was saying, there are no normal channels of recourse. So, you know, if they say you can visit on Friday at 2 and you have to go to a doctor's appointment at the same time, you make damn sure that they know that you're not ignoring your child.
That's true, and it's just amazing, because what they do is they make this reunification plan, right, which is what they've done for Lisa Ann now. But it is absolutely insane, because she used marijuana 3 years ago, and this is the only evidence they ever have of any kind of drug use, and she's not a drug user. She doesn't drink. She doesn't use drugs. One of their requirements before she can have a child back is that she successfully complete a 12-step program. I mean, it's totally insane. Yeah. She has jumped through their hoops over and over and over again, and it's never quite enough.
Yeah.
She didn't do it quite right. And so once you start into that syndrome, they will make the hurdles that you have to get over so huge that you can't possibly do it. And then they'll say, see, she couldn't even complete this plan we did, and that's the reason why she can't be with the mother.
Yeah.
I want to address her first issue, which is about the Santa Cruz police, because this is an important thing. I think that we all need to be even-handed about how we mete out our criticism. Lisa Ann has told me that the Santa Cruz police officer who took her baby cried and said he was so sorry for having to do this, that he was just appalled at having to do this, that CPS had ordered that this be done. She said he was very, very nice about it. He wrote in his report that she'd been very cooperative. So I have to say, in this instance, that we can't really blame the Santa Cruz PD.
Is that Sergeant Sanderson here?
I don't recall the gentleman's name.
I was present when the police did this, and I was not at all impressed with their behavior. In fact, I had the whole thing on tape. They kept people. Lisa Ann requested an advocate come with her, and they kept us all outside the police station for an hour waiting. They gave us misinformation. Finally, we called up an attorney. We tried to get you, and you had a school board meeting. We got instead Ed Fry, who came immediately over, asked to go into the police station. Sergeant Sanderson refused to him access, claiming she had not asked for an attorney, even though she had asked for an advocate, specifically for me. And he used that technical distinction to refuse her access to an attorney. So I cannot agree with you at all, Kate. I think
you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with Lisa Ann. I wasn't there, so I can't give any opinion on this. And I think we're maybe talking about a different person.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me, because Lisa Ann said
there were four cops involved.
Yeah. Lisa Ann said at the beginning there was some activity that she wasn't pleased about, but that ultimately the officer who ultimately handled the situation, wept.
Yeah, he wept. But he'll probably do it again next week.
Robert, don't jump on me. I wasn't there. I am reporting what Lisa Ann had to say.
Okay.
And I think that it's valid for me to report what Lisa Ann had to say, that this man obviously had some real strong emotions about what he was doing, and that he was very sorry, and that in the report he did write favorable things about Lisa Ann and about her Jesse Rowe as well.
Yeah.
So could I interject again? I'm not trying to ding our city police or say they're like worse than anyone else or something, but my main point here is that if that's the first experience a young child or infant has had with a human being that has more power than others and wears a badge and a gun, that's going to stay with that child. And I think it's an unwise deployment tactic on the part of the bureaucracies we're talking about.
I agree.
And we live in a city where the police department has some good points for how they deal with domestic problems. I think we should start including children in who we consider domestic,
I think we should start treating children like they're human beings and give them civil rights, which is something that is a novel concept in our society. I don't think anybody even realizes how little civil rights our children have.
Yeah, until you're losing them.
You yourself could have a whole other show on what happened to your son in terms of the educational system and how his civil rights were completely wiped outside.
Absolutely. My son was expelled from Soquel High for being outspoken about his political beliefs. But we'll talk about that on another show. Yeah, Linda, I do agree with you on that. I think that is probably a situation of that someone can be absolutely affected for life
It's totally unnecessary to come tearing through doors, which they do sometimes, when a social worker can do the same thing and has the same legal authority. Why traumatize a kid? I mean, literally pulling them out of their high chairs and out of their mother's bosoms. That's not necessary. If a mother panics, understandably, maybe everyone else will panic, but until that happens, it's not necessary.
I agree.
Oh, thank you, Linda. Anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
And I want to thank Captain Kate Wells for braving illness, coming down here for 15 minutes, staying for 40. And as usual, we've exploited you effectively, Kate.
Well, now that I've drilled with a whole bunch of germs all over your microphone, I'll take my leave. But, do call me if you yourself were the victim, if you know anyone who has been the victim of this sort of overzealous, we'll call it overzealous in a kind-hearted way, overzealous manner. And give me a call at 457-1545. If you have such an incident. Thank you.
Hi, you're on the air at Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we might even get you to have a quick word with Catnip Kate if you're calling for her.
Yeah, well, I am. This is Rev.
Hey there, Tom.
How are you?
All right.
And I'm just calling Kate because I called to find out. You mentioned that, I think the question is, do you want to do anything about it, about all this? And the one thing that all of us, the government is scared of is the press, and I've got the names of a couple of people who are investigative reporters at the San Jose Mercury that I just got from Gary Webb, and also the person who is more or less the Metro editor at the San Jose Mercury, and her number, and that she would probably assign someone to look into this if we can make our case strongly enough that it needs to be looked into, that there's a pattern of taking children away from their mothers, and or at least favoring the party that in the dispute that has the most money and or has more money, and so on. So if I can give that name on the air,
sure. Be my guest.
The name of the Metro editor is Rebecca Salner. S A L N as in Ned, E R.
Hang on a second. We're scrambling for a
And perhaps if she gets several requests, who knows? I mean, she may that may have some weight.
Spell that last name again, Tom.
The name again is Rebecca Salner, S-A-L-N-E-R. She's the Metro editor at the San Jose Mercury. And the number there is 408-920-5000. You ask for her. And the names that Gary gave me of people that were generally in the investigative reporters with the Mercury, 100% sure, but that's what it sounded like. So if anybody, I think the important thing that we all have, that we have on our side is numbers, and if people are upset about this and want to try to exert some kind of, I mean, you know, if we play their game, then they've got all the power and we don't have any, and they just exclude us and so on. So you kind of have to go sideways to get to the, to get what we want, and I think the media are always a big resource, and I, you know, I think that if a little attention were shown on the situation from that quarter, anyway, just, I wanted to say that, Kate.
Thank you very much,
Tom. Yeah, don't
Tom.
Hang up yet, Tom. I'll ask you another question.
Okay.
So, Kate, anything more you want to say?
Nothing more, but thanks, Tom, for calling in. I appreciate that.
Okay, and again, the number to call, Kate, if you have any concerns about CPS or incidents that have come up is 457-1545. You probably heard that twice. So, thanks, Kate Wells, and we hope we'll have you back again soon. In fact, I'm sure we will. Tom, I actually got your message about a week ago, which you suggested various protections for campers if they concern themselves, I believe, with the Ninth Amendment you were suggesting?
This is something I wrote several years ago, and which I think it's called a Ninth Amendment Declaration of the Right to the Means of Making Shelter. I worded that fairly carefully so that people wouldn't get confused with the idea that you know, that everybody has a right to a shelter, because then that raises the question:
right.
Whose shelter are you going to take?
Right.
I mean, who has the obligation to build you a shelter if
right.
If you have a right to a shelter? So what I'm saying is that the means of making a shelter, I think, is fairly careful and very constitutional. And this is a legal document whereby you notice and declare that these rights are claimed, and it can be filed with the recorder. I haven't done it yet in this area. I think that it should be something that, but I'd be very happy to talk to anyone who would like to pursue the matter.
Why don't you come to our Huff meeting at Denny's at 2?
At Denny's at 2 when, today?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can give people a briefing on it. I warn you, most of our time will be taken up with other stuff. They'll be happy to give you some.
Well,
time.
I'll just leave. In fact, I can send it to you, Robert.
Well, bring it in if you can, because we you know, we're about to be bounced out of here. We got 3 days. In fact, this is our last working day when we can file anything if we decide we want to file something. So maybe if you're willing, bring it around to Denny's at 2. Make it 2:10, because I'm going to be at the station. I'm going to have to hot foot it over there.
Okay, Denny's
is on Ocean Street. For anybody interested in coming to the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting, which will be happening today at 2, it's right before you hit Highway 17 as you drive down Ocean Street onto the freeway. It's,
okay.
It's right to your left.
Okay, okay.
And Tom, I appreciate your calling in. Is there anything you want to add?
No, that's it.
Much thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Well, it's the extended edition at last of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. We're going into hour number 4 here, and I want to thank all those wonderful Radio Collective people who will be trying to string me up at the next radio meeting for not coming into the studio and dragging me out into the rain. I think it is still raining outside, or at least it's wet out there. However, I have still with me Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins, one of the few hardy survivors of the Tuesday Massacre. That's Paul Meursault's dump 'em in the rain policies that he's been, I guess first a victim, then you remove their life support and their toilet support system, and then you just lock the gate on them and send in the cops. I guess you lock the gate last after you've booted them out. That's the new amazing plan by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless for dealing with uncooperative homeless people in Santa Cruz who have the temerity to believe their promises that they would keep the campground open during the month of December, hopefully in terms of negotiating something real with the campers that would really give their name, Citizens Committee for the Homeless, some real meaning. We are still actually looking back to the interview with Jane Immer this morning, but at some point we hope to continue. If this program continues and we continue to find that nobody else wants to talk on the radio, hey, I'll jabber on all day. But here's Dragon's Heart Dan, and Dan, take your time. The mic is yours for as long as you need.